Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One into it, just in case.
We dance to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Welcome back to Great Lakes Confidential with Angie and Marty. Hey, Marty.
Hey. Hey, Angie. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say to anybody that's listening that like listens to our shows like in order, the last episode we said that we were going to talk about cold cases this week, and we're actually not going to. I kind of got ahead of myself and we're not going to. So I'm sorry if anybody was like looking forward to that. We're going to talk about something else today instead, but
yeah, only the families that are missing people were looking forward to it. You're letting them down.
Oh man.
No, I'm kidding. It's understandable. You had a, if you know what, I didn't hear you say cold cases. I heard you say I've got a case of the colds and we won't be recording.
Oh, yes, that's also true. So,
yeah. You had a cold.
I did. I was sick for like a week and it was just a regular cold, but man, it like really kicked my butt. So, I'm glad I'm over that.
The older you get, the worse they seem to be.
Yeah, they do. They're just like, I missed work for 2 days and I really don't hardly ever miss work and it just took me out. And then even returning to work the rest of the week, it was so hard. It was like I was exhausted and I just could not get it together. So yeah. So we missed a week because I was sick and we're back. Yay.
These things happen.
Yeah, they do. So I'm excited though, because we got an email from a listener who has been listening since the beginning. So that's awesome. And she gave us some show ideas. So we're actually going to talk about J.W. Westcott Company, which is something that she suggested in her email. So
the J.W. Westcott Company.
Yeah. Okay. And I know you'll know what this is once I start talking about it. Because right now you're like, what? But I know you're going to know.
It sounds familiar, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Names, you know. Everything sounds familiar.
Right.
I assume I met everyone at one point and then just forgot their name.
That's pretty accurate, probably. So I feel that. That's cool.
Right.
Yeah. So while established in 1874, the J.W. Westcott story actually began in December of 1848 with the birth of John Ward Westcott to a prominent Michigan shipping family. John's uncle, Eber Ward, founded Ward's Central and Pacific Line, as well as Ward's Detroit and Lake Superior Line with the purchase of St. Huron. Following the purchase of St. Huron, John's father, David H. Westcott, served as a fireman aboard the vessel. Through John's formative years, his father and uncle continued to make a name for themselves in the shipping industry, which no doubt piqued John's interest. As a boy, John worked in his father's boatyard and went on to be a cabin boy on the St. Forester by 1861. By age 20, John earned his master's papers, becoming at the time the youngest captain on the Great Lakes.
Okay.
Now, from what I can tell, earning your master's papers is basically the same thing as earning a captain's license today.
Yeah.
A captain's license. Yeah. A captain's license is required to operate a commercial vessel or to take paying passengers out on your vessel. There are different requirements for a master's or captain's license depending on if you're inland or in the Great Lakes, or if you're near a coastal, or if you're near coastal waters. For the inland or the Great Lakes, the requirements include you must be at least 19 years old, must be able to document 360 days of experience on a vessel, 90 days of sea service must be within the last 3 years when you apply, and the tonnage of the license, 25-ton, 50-ton, or 100-ton that you get is determined by your experience. So, okay. Things I didn't know.
Okay.
If you plan on operating an inspected sailing vessel, you must have a sailing endorsement along with the Master Inland Great Lakes license. The required amount of sea service for a sailing endorsement on a Master Inland Great Lakes license is 180 days on sail or auxiliary sail vessels. Sea service is a measure of a mariner's lifetime experience on boats, whether recreational, commercial, or military. It may be counted from the day a mariner turns 16 and accumulates over his or her lifetime. Sea service never expires and may be reused when applying for new endorsements.
Mm. Yeah, and that also counts on the freshwater lakes, I take it, too.
I'm assuming,
Any sailing experience.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't know any of this stuff. But
I don't know. I don't want to go off on a tangent.
No.
But I know, like, the way, if you want to, if you want to work on a cargo ship now, like, there's two ways, but it seems more and more like the college route, the school route is the way to go. There's, like, a school in Traverse City.
Oh.
And it's, like, a branch of one of our fine Michigan universities. I can't think of which one it is, but it's let's say Northern Michigan, maybe Northern Michigan or Michigan Tech, maybe one of the UP schools, but they run like the shipping academy in Traverse City.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, it's not called like the shipping academy. It's, you know, Great Lakes Mariners College or something. I don't know. I only know a little bit, and I like to pretend I know a lot. But really, I only know a little bit.
And you said that's in Traverse City?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
So it gives another meaning to the word traverse, I suppose.
Yes, it does. Very cool.
And city.
As a master, Westcott understood the challenges that shipping vessels faced, including lack of ship-to-shore and shore-to-ship communications. At the time, a common practice of the shipping industry demanded that destinations of cargoes be closely guarded. Westcott had firsthand knowledge of the problems surrounding this practice, as even the ship's masters were unaware of where their journey would end. With the lack of reliable forms of communication between shipping companies and their vessels, ever-changing weather conditions, congestion in ports, breakdowns in equipment, and other unforeseen complications anywhere along the Great Lakes could spell financial disaster for a company. Westcott sought to remedy this communication problem by establishing a company in the Port of Detroit circa 1874.
Okay.
The company began pretty simply with John rowing a small boat out to passing commercial ships to deliver shipping orders and updates on routes and ports. The company would field destination and dock information from shipping companies via telegraph and deliver them to passing vessels from his dock on Belle Isle in Detroit. The modern marvel of engineering, a line tied to a bucket, would be thrown over the side of the passing vessel. Westcott would place communications inside and the bucket would quickly hoist back up. This string of events would come to be known as Mail in the Pail.
Wow, what year was this?
This was in the 1870s.
1870s, all right. Mail in the Pail, boys. Yeah.
I love it.
A letter from your lady back home.
Mail in the Pail. The company also quickly added mail to their list of deliveries. In 1895, after seeing the success that the Westcott Company was experiencing, the United States Post Office began running a competing mail delivery service, but the rivalry ended when the postal charter was granted solely to the Westcotts in 1948.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. That's a long time, though.
Meanwhile, I was like, yeah, 50-year struggle for male dominance on the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
The original, Male in the Pale.
Yeah, I just, that's so weird. Just, yeah, 50 years, that's a long time.
The original. if they had to come up with something else.
Right.
Lettuce in a bucket. Lettuce in a bucket.
From April through mid-December, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the company offers ship-to-shore delivery service. The Male in the Pale system remains today with little changes.
Okay, so they're still around then in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
The J.W. Westcott was launched as the company's first motor-powered boat in 1910, and during the busiest part of the season, the small steamer might shepherd a number of rowboats between vessels simultaneously. In 1949, the J.W. Westcott II debuted as the primary carrier, no more rowboats, and remains so today. The Joseph J. Hogan serves as the company's backup vessel.
The Joe Hogan?
The Joe Hogan.
Joe Hogan.
The J.W. Westcott II runs over 6,000 trips per year, and despite the daring nature of its delivery process, the craft carries a nearly spotless safety record.
Very cool. Very cool.
The 45-foot J.W. Westcott II capsized shortly after 7 on October 23rd, 2001, as it was delivering a pilot to Sidsel Knutsen, a 533-foot Norwegian oil tanker. Westcott's captain, Catherine Nasatika, and deckhand David Lewis were killed in the accident. Two Canadian pilots who were aboard the Westcott swam to safety in the fast-moving Detroit River.
Wow. It's weird. Like, you never really think about, like, with the span of the Great Lakes and all that, you never really think about deaths in the Detroit River.
Mm-mm.
Accidents in the Detroit River.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, I think about, like, you know, when the Detroit River freezes up and some Canadian decides to, you know, streak across the ice while drunk. Because that happens. It does happen.
I imagine it does, yeah. People are wild.
It usually starts on that Canadian side. Get a few Molsons in them and decide, you know.
Molsons.
Hey, we're going to do something over here.
Hey, sorry. On the morning of October 23rd, Westcott set out from its berth to deliver a Canadian pilot to Knutsen, a tanker owned by Knutsen OAS Shipping of Norway. It was then scheduled to deliver another pilot to a freighter in the nearby Ojibwe anchorage. The tanker was partially filled with 12,000 tons of gasoline and was scheduled to steam upriver to Lake St. Clair and then up to the St. Clair River to the Canadian port of Sarnia on Lake Huron. Ships must travel up the Detroit River to make their way from Lake Erie to Lake Huron. As usual, a ladder for the pilot to climb up was hanging over the side of Knutsen when Westcott pulled up alongside an estimated 100 feet forward of the stern. Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander Brian Hall said the boat typically pulls up about one quarter of the way from the stern of visiting ships, or about 130 to 140 feet forward in this case. Also, as usual, Westcott began taking on some water as it pulled toward the side of the tanker, the suction of the two boats together churning the water rapidly between their hulls. The water typically comes on deck and escapes through the frame ports of the bulwarks. This time, the boat took on more water than usual and it began flowing into the pilot house. The vessel started listing to the port side. The way the witnesses described it, within seconds, the pilot house had almost completely filled with water, Hall said. One pilot opened the doorway on the port side of the Westcott to escape. The other made it out the same door as well. The pilot swam to safety in about 55-degree waters and watched the boat go down in about 20 seconds.
Oh, geez.
Faust Marine raised the Westcott from the bottom of the river 6 days later. Nasatika was found inside, but divers found no trace of Lewis. He was presumed dead. This was the company's first fatality in its history.
Oh my, yeah.
And the only one, as far as I know. The JW Westcott 2 is the only ship in the country to have its own postal zip code, which is 48222. To further assist navigation, JW Westcott Company is an authorized agent for nautical charts and operates the JW Westcott 2 as a pilot boat, delivering pilots familiar with the Great Lakes to foreign vessels as required by law. In addition to mail and pilots, the craft routinely transfers mechanical equipment, personal packages, laundry, and even the occasional pizza. In 2010, Captain John Westcott's great-grandson James M. Hogan became president of the company, keeping the firm under family management throughout its entire history.
Very interesting. Yeah, I know that that work is done on the Great Lakes. I, you know, I mean, I can always tie this back to the old Sault Ste. Marie. I know they got one of those boats. It's called the Ojibwa. And it services the ships coming through the Sioux locks there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's the story of the JW Westcott.
Very cool. Very interesting. Very sad, too. Sorry to hear about the loss of life.
Yeah. Crew. And it wasn't long ago, 2001. No. So 23 years ago?
Yeah. Not long at all. I hate getting older.
Yeah, I guess, wow, when you say it like that, it feels weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you would have kept it at 2001, it would have been like, oh, it was yesterday. And then we're like, wait, 23 years?
Yeah.
What have I done with my life?
And all I got is this t-shirt.
T-shirt that I had back when before that boat sank.
Yeah, right.
I've got clothes older than that.
Yeah, for sure.
Jeez, this is, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so the JW Westcott is still out there. It's JW Westcott 2 is still out there delivering pizzas and laundry and all sorts of things. So that's really nice. Cool.
The J-Dub 2.
J-Dub. Yeah,
I don't know exactly how their service works, but I think it is kind of along the lines like, hey, if we can get it for you, we will. So, you know, you can just kind of, that's why I was wondering where they get their pizza from, but you could probably just request anything. Like, hey man, we're coming through. Can you pick us up a pizza at Louis and bring it down to the ship?
That would be a good marketing ploy to be right there on like a pizza place on Belle Isle. And you'd be the only pizza place that can deliver to the JW Westcott.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be a good little business to have, or they should just start their own little pizza place
on the boat
and only service ships.
Yeah.
No, the Westcott, like get a little commercial kitchen going and
there you go.
Maybe make a little homemade goodies for this. Yeah. Meanwhile, the ship's cook is like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Right.
No, you don't need to do all this. I already got this covered.
Yeah, I know how to make mail pizza.
Mail and parts from you. Right. Mail and parts. That's all we need from you.
Yeah.
And the occasional pilot.
The occasional,
you screwed up that last order, so.
That's so messed up.
I know. I'm sorry I said that. I apologize. Apologize to the families and the company.
It's an interesting story, though, and they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, no, that is. And I mean, you know, you don't think of that sort of infrastructure that's needed, you know, to keep those ships moving.
Yeah.
You know me, once you bring up ships, I'm like, ooh.
I know.
It's just one more thing to daydream about.
Well, I kind of figure you would have known more about this one. That's why I was like, you'll know what I'm talking about.
But, I mean, yeah, once you started talking,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a familiar name, and I don't know. I didn't want to interrupt you, let you go. Because like I said, my mind goes off to Sault Ste. Marie with it. And because they got the same sort of service there.
I've been thinking a lot about ships up in the like Lake Superior and stuff again, just because I've been seeing like people have been posting TikToks. Somehow I finally ended up on Great Lakes TikTok. And so every now and again, I'll see videos of like Lake Superior and just, you know, the water just throttling the, and it's just, it's so crazy looking, and you're just like looking at it going, I really hope there's not anybody out there. Like, and you know, people,
there's people out there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, people don't realize Michiganders are wild, and we have people that will literally go surfing, winter surfing in that water, and just they get out of that water and they're literally, they look like icicles, and it's bananas to think that they're out there just doing this, and they love it. It's, you know, good for them. I could never.
Mean, that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that does need to be discussed about Michiganders, especially those in the UP, is that that whole winter surfing phenomenon. Like, that is, that's crazy to me.
It is bananas.
But, you know, if you're going to surf the Great Lakes, that's probably when you get the best waves.
Well, yeah, for sure. But
the fact that these guys, you know, just guys and gals have, like, these insulated wetsuits, and like you said, yeah, coming out of there and the water's just hanging off of them frozen.
Yeah. It looks big, so big wild.
Santa beards and, like, icicles hanging from their eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy looking. I can't.
But hey, you know what? Enjoy nature's bounty.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
however you see fit, this is your state.
Couldn't be me. I could never. But right. I'm glad somebody's out there living it up, because.
Right. Because the way I see fit is sitting at Zender's eating a chicken dinner.
Yep.
You guys are off surfing in the ice there. I'll just enjoy the family style, all you can eat.
Yep. I'll take a hot cocoa, please. In my fuzzy slippers, and I'm good. Yeah, I don't need to be out there in that water. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Me neither. I mean, I do know, actually, be just go right back to the car. I'll be waiting in the car, guys.
No thank you, sir.
It reminds me of, like, the only time I ever went skiing in my life.
And, like, water skiing? Or
no, skiing.
Oh.
Like, down a mountain and all that. I mean, I had no practice, no training, none of this stuff.
Oh, boy.
It was like an after-school event. You know, pay money and you go skiing in, like, middle school. And some of my friends were going, and they're like, man, you got to go. You got to go. I'm like, I've never skied before. That's fine. We'll show you how. And they didn't show me how.
Oh, no.
You know, they ran off to go do their thing. And I got up the tow rope barely. Got to the top of the hill, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I tried to take my skis off, and I couldn't take them off.
Oh,
so
no.
I took my boots off and ran down the hill in my socks. And turned everything in and just sat by the fire for like 4 hours while everybody else skied.
I can picture that, and it's amazing. Yeah.
Like 12-year-old me. You had no business on that hill, son.
I remember going on like some sort of a school trip to like a ski resort thing, and I could go on the bunny hill to sled, and that was it. I'm like, first of all, I'm too scared of heights to be up on a mountain. Like, I don't know. That does not appeal to me.
It's just garbage.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's just not my jam. Mm-mm.
No. And I mean, I even remember that it was like, you know, we get there and it's like, maybe we try this bunny hill so I can get accustomed. Like, no, man, we're going to the mogul. Ugh. And so I ended up on the top of the mogul, and I'm like, man, I gotta get out of here. Mm. This is not good. I don't even know where it was at. It might've been at Pine Knob for all I know.
Yeah. I don't remember where we went, but I'm sure it was when I lived in West Branch. So it was up north somewhere. But I can't remember, and I feel like we stayed the night someplace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, maybe we didn't stay the night. We might have taken the bus back home, but I remember it being dark.
Yeah.
So we may have stayed the night, or we may have taken the bus home real late. I don't know. We went on wild field trips when I was younger. Like,
sounds like it. I mean, I can't think of one overnight field trip that...
We went all the way to Toronto to watch the Phantom of the Opera when I was
that's awesome.
Yeah, I was in like eighth grade or something.
By phone.
We took the bus, and I remember we had to leave super early in the morning. It was still dark, and we took the bus all the way.
Theater.
Yeah, we took the bus all the way to the theater in Toronto and watched the Phantom of the Opera, and then the bus drivers drove us all the way back. We had pizza. We had pizza at some like grinder's place.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mancini's? Mancino's?
I don't know. It was like a famous...
Bellicino's?
No, it was like a big famous place that had like...
Toronto?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it was, you know, 100 years ago, so I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember the pizza not being... I remember the pizza not being great.
That's, yeah. Canadian pizza doesn't have the best reputation, although I will... in Windsor style pizza.
So what's Windsor style?
Well, what they do is they take the pepperoni and instead of slicing it, they shred it. So it's like, you know, shredded pepperoni that just mixes in with the cheese.
Mm.
And I believe they use like a local like brick cheese as well, which I think as we've learned with Detroit style pizza, brick cheese is kind of the way to go.
Yeah.
But so it all just kind of melts together in there, and it's, you know, you got these like long shreds of pepperoni.
Oh,
just kind of mixed in there. It's crazy. It's good though. It's good. It's a good way to eat pizza. I mean, I'm kind of surprised it hasn't taken off in Detroit or anywhere else.
Yeah,
but really, and all over Canada. I mean, I don't know if Windsor style is like, you know, like what Detroit style is in America. I don't think Windsor style is in Canada, although most Canadians will acknowledge that Windsor probably has the best pizza.
And
by most Canadians, I mean the ones that were quoted in the news articles I read about Windsor-style pizza. I really have no... I mean, that was very presumptuous of me to say most Canadians would tell you Windsor-style pizza
right.
is the best.
The four people that were quoted in this article that I read.
Yeah. They were all like... Yeah, like... expatriates from Windsor that like now live in some other part of the country, and she's like, man, I miss Capri.
I'm of the camp that like most pizza is good pizza. Like I don't care if it's Detroit style or Chicago style or New York style or, you know, tavern style or whatever. Like pizza is good, and and I'll pretty much eat any kind of pizza.
It's like the old saying, pizza is like sex. Even when it's bad, it's still pizza.
Yep. It's still pizza.
Yeah.
Well, that was a tangent.
It started with the boats, ended with pizza.
Yep.
It really got hung up on that pizza delivery.
Well, I mean... I have a lot of questions about it, though, too. Like, how long does it take to order a pizza and get it delivered? And is it still hot? Like, is it cooked pizza? Or is it, like, they just make it for you and then you put it in the oven when you get it? Like, I have questions. I need to know.
Yeah. And I wonder, like they have those delivery bags to keep it warm?
Yeah.
Or if they do it, like, what's that, that take and bake?
Yeah, that's chain. What I'm thinking.
I can't believe that's a chain. I don't think there's any of them in Michigan, but it's like that a big pizza chain where we make your pizza in the store, but we don't have ovens, so we give you the raw pizza for you to take home and cook.
Yeah, that sounds garbage.
Like, why not just go to the grocery store at that point?
Well, now you can get pizza made in a vending machine.
Yeah, see, and you guys can't even do it in your stores, Ohio. Papa Murphy's? Is that what it is? Papa Murphy's pizza?
I don't know.
Murphy. What an Italian name. It's got to be really good.
Isn't that an Irish name?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So, but, I mean, again, with the boat thing, too. Like, I wonder if they could swing by and bring a Windsor-style pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, do they only deliver from one specific place? Like, can you order it from anywhere? Yeah. And, like, how does that all work?
Just have the delivery guy like meet you at the other riverfront park.
Yeah.
Just swing by in your boat. And you're like, that's me, Captain.
Yeah.
What does the zip code on your delivery say? That's me.
That is so.
222.
48222. Yeah, I need to know how this works. I really need to know. If anybody out there knows how pizza gets delivered to the JW Westcott to deliver to other ships, I want to know.
Like in what form? Is it a pizza kit?
Like a Little Caesars pizza kit that you buy as a fundraising?
Yeah.
Yeah.
the four small pizzas.
I mean, those are kind of good, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I can't lie either. I bought one of those a few years ago, and it was like, yeah, I got the got pizza, and then you just get worried though, because everything's like individually packaged, except I believe the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, man, I don't want to like put too much cheese on this one, and then I won't have enough on for the last one.
Yeah.
But then you always kind of undercompensate. You're fine, and then that last one is like, oh my god, too much cheese.
That's awesome.
I must be getting old or something, because this is too much cheese.
There's no such thing as too much cheese.
Well, just wait.
We're not taking the show down that road.
We're not talking, 2001 levels of cheese here. Let's get a large pepperoni and triple cheese.
Now do you order your pizza with light cheese?
Yeah, extra sauce, light cheese.
Ugh, gross.
No, I don't. I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Well,
you just want a little extra something. That's the runner. That's something like runners will order.
What do you mean?
I like to get extra sauce. Like, I don't know, just thinking fitness people.
Oh.
can we get extra sauce on that one? We don't need extra cheese. Just get the extra. That's where all the flavor is anyway, in the sauce.
Oh, pizza sounds good.
Telling you
where
the flavor in a pizza is, and then he's also trying to tell you about a runner's high.
Mm.
Anyway.
Can't trust that guy.
No.
That's funny.
All right. We've gone off the rails.
We
here.
Have. Yeah. I think we should just change the name of the show to Off the Rails.
Off the Rails with Angie and Marty.
Yeah. Yeah. Just freaking weekly tangents of Lord only knows what.
Off the Grand Trunk Railroad. Grand Trunk Rails.
I'm excited because I wrote a show about, I finally did it. I've been talking about this for years. I've been talking about interviewing people. I haven't interviewed anybody yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to, but I'm finally ready to do the Hudson show.
Nice.
So that's coming up next week. I'm excited.
Good, good, good,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so I might call my grandma and have her answer a couple questions, have her tell hers and my grandpa's story to share with it, but I haven't decided just yet. I don't know how she'd feel about it. I know I talked to her before about it, and I interviewed her, but it I don't know, I never used it. So, yeah. And I don't think I still have it. Much. Yeah, so... So we'll see. But yeah, we're going to talk about the Hudson Motor Car Company next week. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. And whenever you're ready, I'm ready for the Lions show. I'm ready to hear about this curse.
Man, you're right. I got to get to work on that.
I know. Though. I hate to put the pressure on you, but like I know it's going to be a good show, and I'm excited to learn more.
All right. Maybe with the holidays coming up, I might find a little time to put my thinking cap on and
heck
put
yeah.
my pen to paper.
I'd love it.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome. Yeah, it is almost Christmas. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or as I like to say, almost New Year.
It is almost New Year, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Where did this year go?
I don't
anyway,
know.
Now we're rambling. Now we're just rambling.
Now we're just rambling. All right. We should probably end this before somebody calls the cops on us. I don't know.
That's good. My cat's coming out of hiding anyway, so I'm...
Oh, you gotta go. Yeah, you gotta go. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. If you know anything about how pizza gets delivered on boats, let us know. You can email us at greatlakesconfidential@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook, because we're always on there chatting about the shows and whatnot. So we'd love to hear from you. Have a great Christmas, and we will chat with you in about a week.
Bye.
Bye.